Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have to open the Word of God together, to meditate on this important book in the Old Testament. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and guide now. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we looked at, is that up there? Yeah. We looked at the first section of the book of Leviticus. It's divided into two major sections. And the first section deals with access to God. And we looked at last week and the week before that access to God is by sacrifice. And we looked at the five different types of sacrifice in that section. And tonight we want to look at the next means of access to God that's revealed in the book of Leviticus, and that is by means of the priest, the priestly consecration. And we see that in chapter 8, we have an ordination ceremony for the priests. And most of this chapter deals with just that very subject. He's talking about the priesthood, and Leviticus chapter 8 contains the revelation of Moses concerning the anointing of Aaron and his sons, consecrating them into the priesthood, and Aaron into the as the high priest. And so it was an ordination service that instituted, began Judaism with the anointing of these priests. And the ordination service included three major events. One, the priests were washed, and that spoke of the fact that it was illustrative of, or a type of, believers being washed by the waters of regeneration. And they're also clothed, speaking of justification by faith, wherein the believer is robed in the righteousness of God, and then anointed, which speaks of the believer's consecration to the Lord as a priest, and perhaps implying the Holy Spirit as well. And so here we see that the priests were anointed into the priesthood, and Judaism is just about to begin. They've been given the law, but there was more to it than that. It needed a priesthood for Judaism to function. And here we see the priests are being anointed into that service. And then we have the priesthood, and they were the ones that were to offer sacrifices on the altar. And most of the information that we have in the book of Leviticus about the priesthood is, much of it at least, is repeated in Exodus chapters 28 and 29 in much more detail. But Exodus contains the instructions, and Leviticus is the narrative of it actually coming to pass, where now the priests are actually being anointed into the ministry. So in the book of Exodus, many of those laws, God was saying, here's what I want you to do. And in the book of Leviticus, now they're actually doing what God said. And now they have a priesthood. And if an Israelite was to approach God, if a sinner was to approach a holy God, he couldn't approach on his own. He had to go through a priest. That was the only way under Judaism that the people could have access to God. It was through their priesthood. And the book of Leviticus teaches us that the sinner needs a sacrifice, the unbelieving sinner needs a sacrifice, and the believer needs a priest to bring him access into God's presence. And so all of this is typified in the book of Leviticus. And we also see here with the anointing of Aaron, the high priest, he is a picture or a type. He illustrates two things: that Christ is both the priest, the high priest, and he's the offering. And remember in the book of Hebrews, we read that Christ offered himself unto his Father. He offered himself as the sacrifice, and he was the priest doing the offering as well. Now, We see in verses 10 and 13, there's another aspect to this priestly consecration. Moses took oil and he sanctified the priests. They were sprinkled with oil. This was a part of the sanctification process. And it indicated that everything there, the priests and the tabernacle, it was to be all consecrated unto the Lord. And so the tabernacle itself, the tent, was also anointed with oil. And so was everything in it, all the articles of furniture, the table of showbread, the candlestick, etc., the altar of incense. And the oil that was sprinkled on this whole system was a picture of the Spirit of God, whose ministry it is to separate men to himself. And this is part of the consecration process. This is part of the priestly ministry. They were being anointed, and now in picture form, they were being set apart unto God as belonging to the Lord and set apart unto his service. And we see in verse 13 that then Aaron was robed in the high priestly garments, beautiful garments, made to match the inside of the most holy place. And this is in these two chapters in Leviticus chapters 8 and 9. And then from verses 14 through 29, we have the instructions for the offering of sacrifices at the ordination service. So there were many different kinds of offerings that were to be offered. There was a bullock for a sin offering, because priests were sinners too. And there was a ram for a burnt offering. And the burnt offering pictures absolute total consecration unto the Lord in his service to do his will. And so this was a picture. The sacrifices that the priests offered was really a picture of the fact that they themselves were being set apart unto God and were being placed on the altar of his sacrifice. And they were also being consecrated into the Lord's service. And that was the ram of the burnt offering. And then in verse 23, we have an interesting expression where Aaron was sprinkled with blood on his ear and on his right foot. And that might strike us as odd, but the point was that Aaron, as the high priest, was being set apart unto God by blood from head to toe. That he belonged to the Lord, in his whole being belonged to the Lord. And of course, we should also see in this a picture of ourselves as priests, presented unto the Lord as a living sacrifice. And then we have also in chapter 8 in verse 20, there was another anointing with oil and blood. And this was again anointing the entire priesthood, Aaron and all of his sons. So this was all part of the consecration service. And in chapter 8, we see that the ceremony of consecrating the priests ended with a feast. And then there were the final 7 days of the consecration. And so during these final days of the consecration, Aaron and his sons had to remain inside the tabernacle for a week, for a full 7 days. And this would complete their period, seven meaning a number of completion, it would complete this period of consecration into the priesthood. And it pictures that that's the abiding place of a priest, is in the holy place, in the sanctuary. And there's good application for us in that as well as priests of the Lord. So here we see a great consecration of the high priest and all the other sons of Aaron into the priesthood. And there are some great applications for us. We see the bathing, the washing of regeneration. Then they were robed in righteousness as we are as priests. And then they're anointed, they with oil, we're anointed with the Holy Spirit. And they are like the burnt offering, which was totally burnt upon the altar. And we are to put our all, our total, on the altar. in the Lord's service. And then, once totally consecrated, then the priests had the privilege of entering into the feast. And they could feast on the sacrifices of the sin offering. And then they were to abide in the holy place, doing the service of the Lord. And that pictures us as believer priests, that once we're consecrated to the Lord and we've been feasting on the Lord ourselves, we're to abide in that sanctuary, that close relationship to Him, and then we're to keep charge of the things of the Lord. We're to carry out our ministry, our service to Christ. And so we're just kind of rushing through this, obviously, but beautiful pictures of the priesthood of the believer can be seen there. And then in chapter 9, we have another application of the priestly consecration. And what we saw in chapter 8 was the ordination of the priests, which lasted a full week, 7 days. And then chapter 9 describes the events on the eighth day. And the eighth day was a little different. This speaks of them entering into their new ministry. So the full 7 days of consecration, when that was over, the eighth day speaks of the priests now entering into their ministry, entering into their service. And various offerings were brought to the tabernacle for that. And for the Jews, this eighth day was a type or a picture of the next event for Israel. Now that Judaism was established, now that God had established a theocracy on earth in which God would rule through the leaders of Israel, and Israel would represent the Lord before the world, on the eighth day was a picture of the next event. And the next event for Israel was the glory of the Lord. And we see in Leviticus 9 and verse 6, and Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do." So they did. The consecration service for the priest was over. They had their 7 days in which it was cemented in, so to speak. They were in the priesthood now. And then on the eighth day, it says, "And the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you." So right from the beginning of Judaism, God put it in their heads that the glory of the Lord is going to appear. Messiah will come one day. And we see later on in that chapter, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. So this was predicted in chapter 9 before it occurs, and now we see the actual event. The priesthood had now been instituted, and God appears, His glory appears, as His stamp of approval on what they have just accomplished. They built the tabernacle, they set apart the priesthood, and now the offerings are going to be able to be offered, and the glory of the Lord appeared. This was a change of dispensations. And what we see here is that now the dispensation of law is fully set in place. Judaism has really begun. They have a priesthood. They had the law before. But now they have the tabernacle. And now they have the altars. And now they have the priests. And the sacrifices can begin. And after the 7 day completion of the fulfillment of their ministry, or their consecration to the ministry, now they can get to keeping the charge of the things of the Lord. And they can remain there in the service of the Lord, offering sacrifices. And they will be offering sacrifices on an altar before the Lord for many, many centuries to come. And for Israel, the next step is the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed. So access to God was seen in the first section by the five sacrifices by the priestly consecration. And now in chapter 10, we have an unusual event. Access to God is seen by avoiding this kind of priestly violation that we read of in chapter 10. And there in chapter 10, we have the account of Nadab and Abihu. And we read in the first two verses, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange or foreign fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Now just think of what just happened. Only four priests in the world. And God just killed two of them. At the very beginning of Judaism. They offered strange fire. That's not the way the sacrifices were to be conducted. The Lord did not command them to offer the foreign fire. They were to get the fire from the altar. We don't know exactly what was involved in that on their part. But it was clearly contrary to the command of the Lord. And God sent fire out of heaven and killed them, and they died before the Lord. Just an incredible picture of how seriously God takes every word that comes out of his mouth. And especially when it comes to worship. Over 35 times in the book of Leviticus, we read, God spoke. The Lord said unto Moses. The most densely, this appears in Leviticus with a density that you don't see in other books. God spoke. God gave instructions. Israel said, all that the Lord has said we will do. And everything was going well. The tabernacle was built. The priests were consecrated into service, and then right away, Nadab and Abihu heard what God said, but thought they had a better way of doing things. When God gives instructions on how to approach him and how to worship him, he expects that his people will listen. And so God gave the Israelites a very serious and sobering warning right off the bat that he means business. When a sinner attempts to approach a holy God, it has to be in accordance with what God said. So for Israel, this is really the beginning of God's word and the instructions that he gave them on how to worship. Early on in the church age, Ananias and Sapphira experienced something very similar. They had the audacity to lie to God, to do things contrary at the very beginning of the church. And here we see at the very beginning of the law. Now, the next section in Leviticus in chapters 11 through 16 speaks of access to God by observing purification laws, by observing the purification laws. And these laws included making distinctions between unclean, clean and unclean, holy and unholy. And in chapter 11, there are distinctions made between unclean animals and birds and sea fish in the sea, and also the foods that are able to be eaten. So God made a distinction there. Chapter 12, there are distinctions, holy and unholy, female blood and fluids during childbirth. And then in chapters 13 and 14, clean and unclean things concerning diseases and how they're to be treated. And then chapter 15, concerning male bodily fluids, clean and unclean. And so in all of these different ways, it might seem odd that God would include such things in his word, but all of these were object lessons, teaching lessons. And God wanted to drill it into the heads and hearts of his people that living in this world, it is so easy to become defiled. And once defiled, it required a sacrifice and an offering to become clean again. So that's in these chapters, 11 through, actually it says 16, it should be 15. And then these laws that God gave to Israel, clean or unclean, really served three purposes. First, they tested Israel's loyalty to the Lord. Just stop and think of, read through Leviticus sometime through these chapters, and think of how many animals they weren't able to eat. Perfectly good food, but God said you can't eat those animals. It wasn't that it was immoral to eat them. It wasn't that they were dangerous to eat, that you'd be poisoned and die. God was testing them. And he says, if you touch this animal or eat that animal, there will be consequences. So God was testing Israel's loyalty. It was much more difficult to get food, to get meat. It was much more difficult to, you had to avoid even touching a mouse or some little animal like that would render you unclean until, and you'd be out of fellowship and away from society until you offered your sacrifice and washed in the evening sacrifice. It was very difficult to follow. God was testing them. But these laws, as unusual as they are, also served another purpose. They prevented Israel from being assimilated into all the pagan nations around them. Paul describes their laws as a wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles. It kept them separate. And thirdly, they served teaching tools to teach Israel lessons about holiness and purity before the Lord. And then we come to the next section, access to God by annual atonement on the Day of Atonement, or also known as Yom Kippur. And because it was so easy for anyone to become unclean in Israel, if you touched the wrong animal, if you sat on a chair at the wrong time, there were just so many rules and regulations that could easily render you unclean without even realizing it. And because it was so easy to be rendered unclean, that would happen thousands and thousands of times, probably every day in Israel with somebody. And because it was so easy, and it would very often, many of them would go unnoticed, they would not be bringing a sacrifice, a sin offering, to cleanse themselves. And so in Israel, even though they sacrificed for their known sins, there were a lot of other sins that they committed. There were a lot of other uncleanness that accumulated on them. And so God instituted the Day of Atonement. And so on that day, it wiped the slate clean. And all of those sins that they had committed, all of the areas in which they were rendered unclean, would be wiped away. Now, the Day of Atonement in Israel was usually listed with the feasts of Israel, even though it wasn't technically a feast, it was a fast. And we read it was the most solemn day in Israel's religious calendar, and it was a fast day, and we read this in chapter 23. It says, "And on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." So this was a time of repentance. This was a time of afflicting their souls by not eating and fasting on that day and offering sacrifices unto the Lord. A very solemn occasion in Israel's history, and it is today, too, for many Jews. And then we read also in chapter 16, the offerings that took place on the Day of Atonement. And let's just go through these quickly. The first one, they had two kid goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. And these were offered in the most holy place. Then Aaron would offer a bullock for his own sins. And then there were two goats that were set apart. One of the goats would be slain, and its blood would be sprinkled. The other goat would not be killed. And after the other sacrifices took place on that day, then the high priest would go to the goat that was not slain, and he would put his hands on the head of that goat, and that pictured that the sins of the nation of Israel were being transmitted into that goat, which was called the scapegoat, and that goat would be sent off into the wilderness, never to return. And so they had two pictures of sin that day. One was the animal that was slain and its blood was shed, and that pictures the sacrifice for sin, the penalty paid, and the other scapegoat pictures the fact that once the penalty was paid, our sins are gone. They're removed as far as the east is from the west. And that was when the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat within the veil in verse 14. And that was done by only Aaron, the high priest. Anyone else would be killed. And if Aaron did it on any other day, or if he entered without the blood, he would be killed. And the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat on the Day of Atonement. And it turned what otherwise would be a seat of judgment, when sprinkled with blood, it became a seat of mercy. And then we read that Aaron would come out, and that's when he would put his hands on the scapegoat and set him free. And so what we see here is that Judaism begins after the law is given, after the tabernacle was constructed, after all the articles of furniture were put in place, after the high priest and the priests were anointed into the priesthood, consecrated, set apart unto God's service as priests, and then the sacrifices came. And so this is the beginning, the true beginning of Judaism. Now it is a functioning means of approaching God through priests, through the animal sacrifice system. And so that was the access to God in the first 16 chapters. And next time, Lord willing, we will look at the second section of the book of Leviticus in chapters 17 through 27, which speaks primarily of their worship and their fellowship with God. So let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the truth of it. We thank you for the revelation of the approach to God through this important book, the book of Leviticus. Help us, Lord, to appreciate the access that we have into the Holy of Holies through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen.